This week on Making Contact.
Pensamiento es de que
I believe that the Coca-Cola Corporation in a big way supports the efforts of the paramilitaries in Colombia and their violence.
Coca-Cola is one of the most recognized brands in the world. Billions of people know it as the real thing, but what's the real story about its corporate practices? Communities in India charge that they are losing their water as bottling plants suck such resources dry to produce Coke. In Colombia, there are allegations that Coke workers are murdered by paramilitaries with the support of bottling plant management. On this edition of Making Contact, we take a look at Coca-Cola and examples of the corporation's foreign operations. I'm Philip Babich, your host this week on Making Contact, an international radio program seeking to create connections between people, vital ideas, and important information. Coca-Cola is the largest soft drink company in the world. Its Coke Classic beverage is the number one selling soft drink on the planet. Diet Coke is number three. In addition, it sells hundreds of other brands in virtually every nation on Earth. In just one three-month period in 2002, the company sold over $5 billion worth of products, and its gross profit was over $3 billion. To investors, the company is a great bet. To many consumers, Coke is simply it. But behind its corporate image, there's a little-known track record of alleged human rights violations.
Buenos días.
When you enter into the headquarters of the trade union organization Sinal Trenal in Bogota, Colombia, you have to pass through a metal detector. Such security precautions are not uncommon in a country that experiences over 3,000 political murders a year and tens of thousands of homicides. But here at this union hall, where workers from the food and beverage industries are represented, the metal detector and a bank of surveillance monitors above what might have been a bedroom door in this converted house are tangible reminders that the lives of trade unionists are at stake in Colombia. More than three out of five trade unionists who are murdered globally are Colombian. A series of murders has shined an international spotlight on a U.S.-based multinational corporation, Coca-Cola. On December 5, 1996, paramilitary troops entered a Coca-Cola bottling plant in a town called Carepa in the department or state of Antioquia, Colombia. Once inside, they shot and killed a member of the union's executive committee.
Que cuando iban a asesinar al compañero Isidro II, a él, los paramilitares le dijeron a él que quién era Isidro II.
When they were going to assassinate Compañero Isidro Segundo Hill, the paramilitaries asked a man at the plant to tell them who was Isidro. The man told them that Isidro was the watchman and then pointed to Isidro. He asked them why, and then they told him they were going to kill him. The paramilitaries then left Tutown, and later two of them came on a motorcycle and killed Isidro right there at the Coca-Cola plant.
This man, who did not want to be identified for safety reasons, was also a member of the union's executive committee at the time of Isidro Hill's murder. Paramilitaries threatened his life, and he had to flee to Bogota, where he still faces death threats.
The same paramilitaries that killed Isidro told us, "You have to renounce the union. If you don't, you too will have to go."
It was clear the paramilitaries would make good on their threat. The Isidro Hill murder followed a string of assassinations and acts of intimidation directed at Coca-Cola workers dating back to April 1994. According to a lawsuit filed against the Coca-Cola Corporation, Coca-Cola Colombia, and the bottling plant where the murder took place, Bebidas y Alimentos de Urabá. In fact, management had allowed paramilitaries into the plant, the lawsuit alleges, to try and intimidate workers to renounce the union, as was the case a few days after Isidro Hill was murdered.
Entonces, la reunión del lunes, sí, ya dentro de la empresa, como la gente iba a trabajar, entonces a ellos les quedaba fácil reunirlos en la empresa.
On Monday, at 8 o'clock in the morning, when all the workers were at the plant, the paramilitaries came. The paramilitaries had a letter that had been written on the company word processor. That letter said that they were going to renounce the union, and each one of the workers had to sign that letter. and the letter had come off the computer in the office of the Coca-Cola bottling plant. Each one of them had to sign and indicate that they were renouncing the union. And people signed it. They didn't want a massacre. They didn't want to be killed by the paramilitaries. So they were forced by gunpoint to sign this letter renouncing the union.
At the heart of the lawsuit, which was filed in the Florida court in July 2001, is whether management at the bottling plant was directly involved in the murder and intimidation of Coca-Cola workers. Some of the information on this question comes from Adolfo Cardona, a former employee at Bebidas y Alimentos. He was an eyewitness to the murder of Isidro Hill. After he witnessed the murder, paramilitary troops chased him through the town of Cuerepa. He managed to get to the police station, but nothing was done. On a death list, Cardona fled to the United States, where he currently resides, participating in a protection program sponsored by the AFL-CIO. According to Cardona, the manager of Bebidas y Alimentos, Ariosto Mosquera, was intimately connected with the paramilitaries in Cuerepa.
El gerente de Coca-Cola nos decía de que a la hora que él quisiera, no era sino hablar con el jefe de los paramilitares para que nos acabara.
The manager of that bottling Coca-Cola bottling plant in Colombia would tell us, I can have you assassinated whenever I want to, I just have to go and talk to the paramilitaries.
Este señor les daba entrada libre a la empresa.
That manager allowed the paramilitaries to come in freely into the bottling plant.
Les regalaba la gaseosa para ellos celebrar sus fiestas.
He would give them Cokes to drink at their parties.
Los paramilitares y él pasaban bebiendo licor en el pueblo.
He would sit around in town and drink drinks with the paramilitaries.
De ahí para acá mi vida ha sido un calvario porque he tenido que estar recorriendo las diferentes ciudades del país.
From that time on, I feel like my life has been the life of Calvary. I've had to flee from city to city.
Porque he sido declarado objetivo militar de los paramilitares.
Because I was declared a military objective of the paramilitary forces.
Por andar denunciando la transnacional Coca-Cola.
All of this because I denounced the human rights abuses of the Coca-Cola Corporation.
Mi pensamiento es de que Coca-Cola en gran parte patrocina los paramilitares en Colombia.
I believe that the Coca-Cola Corporation in a big way supports the efforts of the paramilitaries in Colombia and their violence.
The relationship between Coca-Cola, the largest manufacturer of soft drinks in the world, and Bebidas y Alimentos, which is owned by a Florida businessman, is one that involves a contractual arrangement. According to Dan Kovalik, an attorney with the United Steelworkers of America, who's involved in the Coke lawsuit, this arrangement gives Coke headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, ultimate control over the way business is done at the Cuerepa bottling plant, which only bottles Coke products. Kovalik alleges that Coca-Cola should have responded to paramilitary threats of violence against Coke workers prior to the murder of Isidro Hill, because the union Sin al Trenal had launched a national campaign once the plant manager, Ariosto Mosquera, publicly threatened to use the paramilitaries to break up the union.
After this Ariosto Mosquera began making threats to the workers and the trade unionists at the plant in Cuerepa, the national union in Colombia, Sin al Trenal, began a national campaign to try to prevent any violence against its members at that plant. And one thing they did is send a letter to the owner of Bebidas as well as to Coca-Cola Colombia, which is 100% owned by Coca-Cola Atlanta, telling them that Mosquera is making these threats and asking them to do something. Nothing was done, and as a result, Isidro Hill was killed. So Coca-Cola was certainly put on notice of what was happening and did nothing to prevent it. Moreover, as Coke has frankly told individuals in letters, to individuals who've written about this case expressing their concern, Coca-Cola has explained that they have a very close relationship with these plants in Colombia, that they require these plants to abide by human rights conventions and by the domestic laws of the countries they live in, that they have a right to inspect these plants to make sure they're abiding by these conventions and laws, and they have a right to make sure that they are, in fact, abiding by them. And so in this case, they were put on notice of what was happening. They had the power to inspect and do something to correct it, and they did not.
Making Contact spoke with the communications director for Coca-Cola Latin America, but he declined to comment on tape about the Isidro Hill case. Instead, we were provided with a written statement from the Coca-Cola company stating that, quote, "The oft-repeated allegations against the Coca-Cola company and its Colombian bottling partners are completely false." This statement goes on to say that the allegations are, quote, "nothing more than a shameless effort to generate publicity using the name of our company, its trademark, and brands."
We're not going to let Coca-Cola try to influence or trick us. We say Coca-Cola, stop terrorism. 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 God bless you. Thank you.
Day it is today for us to get together as a small mustard seed and watch the falling of the American empire as that building right there is going to come down. And as it comes down, because we're together, we're building unity, we're living out of hope.
The murder of Isidro Hill is not an isolated incident. Links between Coca-Cola operations in Latin America and paramilitary violence date back to the early 1980s, when union leaders were murdered inside a coke plant in Guatemala. A movement against the corporation has taken shape over the past several years. In July 2002, a coalition of social justice organizations protested outside Coke's corporate headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, bringing attention to not only the murder of union organizers in Colombia, but also the depletion of water supplies resulting from Coke's operations worldwide, and the lack of health care for Coke workers in Africa who are suffering from HIV/AIDS.
Three together, 5,000 together, a million together. We will walk and talk till there's justice at Coca-Cola and all the injustice of the world comes tumbling, 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 tumbling down. Amen. Thank you. Great to be together. Great to be together.
The Isidro Hill lawsuit might be one of the ways multinational corporations can be held accountable, says attorney Dan Kovalik.
The trade union movement is just trying to stay alive there, literally. Since 1986, over 4,000 trade unionists have been killed there. Last year alone, about 151 were murdered. And about a trade unionist is being killed about every 3 days in Colombia. And so... and a lot of, you know, and again, they're being killed by forces, these paramilitaries, who see themselves as protecting both domestic and international capital. And so we feel if we're able to prevail in this case, that it'll send a message to both the companies and to the paramilitaries that they can't get away with this without paying for it. And we hope that that will help save lives. And hopefully it'll send a message to companies generally that they are going to be held responsible for what they do in other countries.
In Colombia, with the lack of a functioning judicial system, corporations are able to hire paramilitaries that finger union organizers as subversives, a label synonymous with guerrilla that makes them military targets. What's more, says Erlinda Lucila Hernandez-Matos, a professor at Atlantic University in Colombia who's affiliated with trade unions, U.S. military aid to Colombia is increasing the level of paramilitary violence.
Through Plan Colombia, there have been increases in paramilitary actions as they are trying to safeguard corporate monopolies, multinational interests, and the investments of multinational corporations in Colombia. In the cases of the Coca-Cola Corporation, they have not only been murdering workers in Colombia. These all started with murders in Guatemala, where many of the union members at the Coca-Cola Corporation were murdered.
Coke came to Colombia, seeking lower wages. They got just what they came for, but as we turn the pages, we find the workers do not like the sound of their children's hungry cries. So they said, we'll join the union. They began to organize. So Coke called up a terrorist group called the AUC. Said, we've got some problems at the factory. The AUC went to the plant, killed two union men, told the rest, you leave the union or we'll be back again. Well, Coke did not complain about this dirty deed. Why give workers higher wages when Coke is all they really need? They phoned the AUC, said, thanks, without you we'd go broke. And to show our appreciation, here's 100 cases of Coke. The baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. Coke is the drink of the death squads. Well, these workers wouldn't take this situation lying down. Some went up to Georgia, said, look what's happened to our town. You American workers get downsized. As for us, we just get shot. And those of us who live, our teeth begin to rot. 'Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle and the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. Coke is the drink of the death squads. Well, now that's the situation. What are you gonna do? 'Cause the death squads run Colombia and they're paid by me and you. We can let Coke rule the world, see what future that will bring. Or we can drink juice and smash the state. Now that's the real thing. 'Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squads. Coke is the drink of the death squads.
That's David Rovick singing his song, Drink of the Death Squads. You are listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information about the subject of this week's program, or you would like to contact any of our guests, please give us a call. It's toll-free, 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org. That's radioproject.org. For the last 8 months, the indigenous people and the local peasantry in a forest hamlet in southern India have been fighting against Coca-Cola. The Coke bottling plant there, they say, has been digging their graves ever since the company came to their locality. Coca-Cola's bottling plant at Plachamada in the state of Kerala was set up 3 years ago in the middle of fertile agricultural land. The mountain range of Western Ghats is one of the most biodiverse regions in the world. With more than 2,000 kilometers in length and 50 to 150 kilometers in breadth, this rainforest has numerous species that don't exist anywhere else in the world. The Coca-Cola plant extracts more than 1 million liters of groundwater per day. Vinod K. Jose reports from Kerala.
For centuries, the Western Ghats rainforest sustained the livelihood of millions of people in the southern part of India. Plachamada is just one of the villages which depends on the Western Ghats. But of late, the indigenous people and the small and subsistence farmers of Plachamada are furious at Hindustan Coca-Cola, the Indian division of Coke, which they say is destroying their livelihood.
Inkalab Inglab Sindabad.
Inglab Sindabad.
Kola Virudha Samaram Sindabad.
Throw away Coca-Cola. Victory for anti-Coke strike. Victory for people's revolt. Down, down, Coke. We don't want Coca-Cola. We don't need killer Coke.
The bottling plant extracts 1.5 million liters of water each day, and now the people complain they are left without potable groundwater. Thankamani is a manual laborer.
We need uncontaminated natural water, and the Coca-Cola company should shut down. That is our basic demand.
Lakshmi has been living in Plachimada ever since her birth. She did not miss a single day of a 280-day strike against Coca-Cola in 2002.
Water has become sour and salty. It is no longer potable. Consuming this water, my kids are sick. If we cook using water from our wells, we vomit up all that we've eaten. There is no one in our village who is not taking medicine. We don't need this killer company here. The whole area stinks, as if dead bodies are decaying in open area. We don't need this killer company here. We want to live here, and that is our right.
Rajamma has a 3-year-old daughter named Ashwini. Ashwini is under medication to treat her growth problem. The doctors in the village public health center blamed it on the contaminated water and asked Rajamma to take her daughter to a good hospital. But Rajamma, who is a day laborer, cannot afford treatment for her ill daughter. She blames the Coca-Cola plant for her daughter's condition.
Her physical growth stopped. Her nerves get strained and hands shake for hours. And she takes some medicine, which the local practitioner gave. But we are poor people and cannot afford even daily meals. Forget about treatment and medicines.
The locals helplessly witnessed their wells dry up while they watched truckloads of soft drinks make their way to the distant markets. Since April 2002, struggle has been spearheaded by Janakiya Cherutunilpu Vedi, or People's Resistance Forum. GN Sai Baba is with All India People's Resistance Forum, a member of the Anti-Coke Coalition.
Every day, it extracts 1.5 million liter water, groundwater. Today, the forest is drying up. The streams are drying up. About 5 dams, which provide water for the agriculture lands there, have dried up. They have started it with asking the Coca-Cola company to reduce the extraction of water, groundwater. But the Coca-Cola company said that they need 1.5 million liter water every day just to run the company. They are preparing about 150 truckloads of bottles every day to send it to different parts of the country. They are producing Fanta, Coca-Cola and also the mineral water for the big cities.
Complaints and requests to the company and the state government have gone unanswered. Faced with the prospect of a summer without water, the people began a strike outside the factory gates on April 22, 2002. After numerous confrontations with the police on June 9th, the police arrested hundreds of peaceful protesters, including women and children. Again, GN Sai Baba.
The people asked the government to remove the Coca-Cola company and Pepsi company also from that area. When it is proved to the government that they have violated all the environmental laws and also the laws relating to the land, but the government said that the Coca-Cola company is a need of the land of the people. Then the people said that the people never drink Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola. Why should they give their land at the cost of their generation, next coming generations also? They have taken up a hunger strike in front of the gate of the Coca-Cola company, but the government did not respond. Finally, they have decided to block the gate of the Coca-Cola company, and about 1,000 people blocked the company gate. Huge contingents of police came and heavily lottery charged. About 1,000 people got injured very seriously, and 300 people were arrested and kept in jail for several days.
According to Sai Baba, the conventional political parties, including the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party or BJP, colluded with Coke and tried to divide the strikers. He accused the leaders of turning into petty brokers for Coke.
Very interestingly, the Bharatiya Janata Party, Congress, CPI, CPM, all these parties held a all-party meeting in which they have taken a decision against the indigenous people's struggle. Only one point on which they have taken this decision is that the 300 workers in that big plant will lose their jobs if the Coca-Cola company has to be taken out from, removed from there. Very interestingly, in the last 4 years, Coca-Cola company has employed only 300 people, though it is a very huge company producing the a number of brands to the whole of South India. It's only employing 300 people, and only 7 of the 300 people are being made permanent employees.
The Industry and Consumer Affairs Division of Coca-Cola Company said in a written communication that the allegations of the indigenous people are politically motivated, and the company is committed to and believe in business towards sustainability. Many student organizations have expressed their solidarity with the People's Resistance Forum. Rona Wilson is the Delhi president of All India Revolutionary Students Federation.
Plachimera is not just an isolated phenomenon, but it is part of the widespread trend in the country with the globalization and opening up of market for predatory capital that destroys people and their livelihood resources. And quite interestingly, the political parties turn petty brokers for these MNCs. And this co-option of the conventional political parties make the people to unite and as a movement to fight both the evildoers and their brokers. And Plachimera is a classic example of people fighting against the corporate greed as a movement. It was precisely because of this point people like us extend our support and solidarity towards Janagiya Charuthunilpu Vedi, or People's Resistance Forum, in their fight against Coca-Cola.
Ironically, the company which is charged with destroying the natural resources of the people in India was a sponsor for the United Nations Earth Summit in Johannesburg in 2002. G.N. Sai Baba also notes that Coca-Cola financed the Global People's Movement, a non-governmental organization which also sponsored the Earth Summit.
We ourselves could not go to Johannesburg, but many of our friendly organizations went there. Immediately, we informed these organizations to give the alternative view. We demanded these friendly organizations from India and also abroad to pressurize that NGO, they call the People's Movement, Global People Movement, to withdraw the sponsorship of Coca-Cola, and even we appealed to the UN authorities to immediately remove the sponsorship of Coca-Cola. I think we could shout as loud as possible.
Community leaders in Plachimera say the people are furious and even ready for a militant struggle if the government fails to get coke away from their village. For Making Contact, I am Vinod K. Jose, reporting from Plachimera village in South India.
And that's it for this edition of Making Contact, a look at Coca-Cola. Thanks for listening. And special thanks to Sandra Alvarez for recorded portions from Atlanta. If you'd like more information about the subject of this week's program, or if you'd like to get in touch with any of our guests, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org. That's radioproject.org. Making Contact is an independent production. We're committed to providing a forum for voices and opinions not often heard in the mass media. If you have suggestions for future programs, we'd love to hear from you. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Peggy Law, founding director, associate producer Amy Pomerlow, office manager Rosalind Fay, associate manager Susanna Hines, senior advisor Norman Solomon, national producer David Barsamian, and I'm your host and managing producer Philip Babbage. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. Until next time,